5-year-olds, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds, you can go ahead and stand, make your way back to your class, all the way down the hallway, down by the nursery, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds. It's exciting hearing what God's doing through our missions program, and especially when it's some homegrown missionaries. We're glad to have the Stills family here for a little bit of time, but extremely excited to hear what God is doing, again, there at Rock Point Baptist Church. And I know Brother Travis is going to share a few updates with you as far as souls that are being saved and lives being changed. But appreciate Travis and his family and their friendship and their faithfulness and their desire to serve the Lord and them taking this step of faith to go to Hawaii and help plant this church. So you pray for Brother Stills as he comes at this time, and let's expect God to speak to our hearts. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. If you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to be looking in Romans chapter number 12. Verses 1 and 2. Me and my wife have been now in Hawaii about a year and a half. Our ministry partners got there in January. We immediately started looking for a location. There's not a lot of church-type buildings. Something like this in Hawaii, you've got to find a place, whatever you can afford. So we looked and we searched and we prayed. And took some time. The first building we looked at is where we wound up. It's amazing how the Lord can work things out. It's a building right on the other side of the interstate, I guess you could say, kind of similar between Buffalo Ridge and maybe Daniel Boone. It's just on the other side of the interstate there from Wheeler Army Airfield, which is also across the street from Schofield Barracks. And so we had our first church service August 25th. Had a good crowd, our first service. We passed out between us and several others, I think combined, we passed out close to 20 invitations with the gospel on it to try and reach as many people as we could. Since that time, we've averaged probably between 40 to 50. We probably have around 30 on Wednesday night. We have a discipleship program. We have a young church, primarily young families, and they're young or in their 20s. Young in the faith, a lot of them. But it's been amazing to see the Lord work and help these young families to grow in the Lord. We do door knocking, gospel, soul winning every Thursday night, me and Brother Sam. And then as a church, we go every first Saturday of the month as a church go out. And one family in particular, it's been amazing to see how they've grown in the Lord. They told us they had never been part of a church that put such an emphasis on soul winning. And it's been amazing to watch them just take on more and more responsibility since they've been there. We've probably seen around, I would say around 30 or more make professions of faith. Not all of them have joined our church. But we're just trying to obey God, and we trust God to build the church and bring to our church who he would have to bring, and we're just trusting Him to build it. But we're excited what the Lord's doing. We've only been there just a few months, and it's been an amazing experience already. Just being in on God's plan. It's not my plan. It's His plan. I'm just surrendered to Him, and just trying to find out what He has for us, what He wants us to do, and a lot of times I feel like I'm a little behind trying to keep up with all the things He's doing. But we'll be in that building in that location for about another 10 months, and then we'll have to look. We set up, we take down in the lobby, and we also got a small office space that we use, and we'll do classes in there and the main service, usually in the lobby. But there's a business coming back in October, and between now and then, we're going to have to transition to another location. So I hope that you'll be in prayer for us about that. Also, for the young families, I know one unit in particular is deploying in February. They're deploying to, the folks in the Army will be deploying to Thailand. So they'll be separated from their families probably 3-4 months. They'll be not be a part of the church. So pray for those men and women that are going to be deployed during that time. Pray for spiritual growth. I ask you to please pray for spiritual growth. A lot of these men and women, they have PTSD. They have struggles. The language that's used in the military, if you've served, is the vernacular is not a pleasing thing to the Lord, and they struggle with being around these things every day. The alcoholism, even in some cases drug abuse and other things. These men and women, they really have a struggle when they serve. It's a hard lifestyle to live. And that's one of the reasons why I was so burdened to go there in the first place. I've seen it for myself. Many of them commit suicide, and they need help. They need help from the Lord. They need the Lord. And so I hope you'll remember us as we we'll be flying back Friday morning. So I'm very humbled to speak tonight. It's been amazing. I got assurance of my salvation back in 2012. And ever since that time, the Lord has allowed me, has just done a great work in my life and changed my life in such a mighty way. And you too can get in on God's plan. God has a plan for all of us, and I'm going to kind of show you some things tonight. This message is not really totally original with me. I heard a missionary speak last year from Zambia that came over to Hawaii. And I just kept thinking about what he had said, and I started studying it for myself. And so that's what we're going to be, I'm going to be preaching on tonight. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. It says in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray you bless your word, Lord. As I try to bring the message tonight, Lord, I've done all I could from a human standpoint, Lord, from praying to studying, Lord, and I just pray right now you would take full control, Lord. It's not about me, it's about you. May your word be magnified. May you be magnified. May you speak to us. May your Holy Spirit, Lord, change where we need to change. Encourage where we need to be encouraged. May you help us, Lord. May you help us to worship you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You probably heard the expression, if you see the word in the Bible, therefore, you should find out what it's there for. Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wrote the book of Romans and clearly explained the plan of salvation to both the Jews and the Gentiles. And I understand that most of you here tonight are probably believers in Christ, but if not, I want to just go through quickly what the Bible says, give you an overview of Romans. It says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's all of us. Everyone outside of the Lord Jesus Christ has sinned. The Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the penalty of sin is death. It's separation from God. We all deserve that. We don't deserve anything good from God. A lot of times we think we deserve something good from God. We We think we have a right. We want our rights. We think we deserve it. We think we're pretty good people. But the Bible says that if you sin one time, that you deserve to go to the lake of fire. The Bible also says in Romans chapter 5 that we're God's enemies. And while we were yet God's enemies, He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross and take the punishment that He, not that He deserved, but that we deserved. And the Bible says in Luke chapter number 13, verses 3 through 5, that you have to repent. That's a dirty word today in America, because we don't like to think that we've done anything wrong. We've become, unfortunately, proud as a country. We don't like anybody to point out that we have any flaws. We're not responsible. But you know, the Bible says that we are responsible for why Jesus had to die on the cross. And so Paul is explaining these things to the Jews. The Jews, they thought, boy, they had lived religiously and they were just this great people. And Paul points out that, you know, you're not as good as what you think you are. By God's standards, you're all sinners. And same to the Gentiles. And we come to this passage, and it's addressed to people that have already accepted Christ as Savior. And if you've never done that, or if you're even unsure of that, you can't live for God the way God wants you to live. God wants you to know you're saved. Until I got that settled in my life, I could not fully and truly serve the Lord. And you won't be able to either. Because there'll always be a question mark in your mind, and you'll be up and you'll be down. You'll be up and you'll be down. Until you have that matter of salvation settled, you cannot serve the Lord the way the Lord wants you to serve. I want to look tonight, though, and if you've never done that, I would encourage you to do it tonight. I want to look tonight at a couple of people in the Bible that I think are great examples. We think of the Christmas story. We think about the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, humbling Himself to come and be born as a man. You know, this missionary, he kind of brought this out and he kind of taught this last year. I've just been had it in my mind just thinking about it. Mary and Joseph are great examples of this passage in the Bible. Let's look first at Mary. Flip back to Luke chapter number 1, and we'll look at verses 26 through 30. God has a perfect plan for each one of us. And you might say, why would I want to get on God's plan? Well, there's a reason why. Because if you get on your plan, you're wasting your life. Your life's not going to matter at all in eternity. You might live for 50 years, you might live for 100 years, we don't know, but it's not going to matter at all in eternity. When you die, that's going to be the end. Nobody's going to care. Even if people look back, let's say you're a great athlete or whatever, on the scale of eternity, well, Solomon said it best, it's vanity. But if we get on God's plan, it's going to matter for all eternity. It's going to count. Let's look first at Mary. To have God's plan, to obey and follow God's plan, we have to first be born again. It says in Luke chapter number 1, verse 26, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." If you look back at verse 28, the phrase highly favored means much graced or graciously accepted. In other words, Mary had accepted Christ as her Savior. Hold your place there and flip back to Matthew, and we'll look at Joseph, chapter number 1 and verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph," that was an engagement time, Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. That expression, just man, is referring to somebody that has the testimony of Jesus Christ. It's found in Revelation 19:10. The only way God can look on any of us and say that person is a just man or a just lady is if we have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So Mary and Joseph, they had accepted Christ. They believed, they knew that God was going to come and he was going to send his son. It had been prophesied. There's so many prophecies in the Old Testament of Jesus coming and dying on the cross. Hundreds. The pastor candidate said it even last week. I think it was Micah or Malachi 1, 700 years before Christ was born. It had been prophesied hundreds, in some places thousands of years. And they believed that God was going to send his son to die for the sins of the world. And they had accepted Christ already. So in order to find God's plan for our life, we have to be saved. We have to be born again. The second thing we have to do is we have to be willing to accept his plan for our life. We have to surrender to his plan. Look back to Luke chapter number 1 and look at verse number 34. "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." In other words, I accept your will and your plan for my life. And the angel departed from her. Now turn back to Matthew chapter number 1 and look at verse number 20. So now Joseph, he had found out. It says, "But while he thought on these things, he found out that Mary was expecting. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." So Joseph was also, he was a just man, he was trying to obey God. Mary was saved, she was trying to follow God. And God came to him because he had a relationship with him already established through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, "I've got this wonderful plan. I want you, Mary, to bring this child into the world through the virgin birth. And Joseph, I want you to marry her and help her to raise him for my glory." And both of them said, "Yes, sir. Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I got two more points, and I hope you'll stay with me here. This is what I want you to really see, the next two points. When we surrender to God's plan, there will be pain involved. I got to hear Levi teach last week in Sunday school, and whenever somebody's always teaching to me, there are certain things that I'll kind of latch on to. I'll just keep it, I mean, for years and years and just think upon it. And one of the things that Levi Mullen said last week is he said, there's no painless way to follow Christ. And he was talking about identifying how Mary identified. Well, Joseph and Mary both, they decided they were going to identify with the Son of God. When they told God, yes, we will do this, what they were saying was, they were going to accept the fact that the Jewish community was not going to believe that she was a virgin. They were not going to believe the Word of God. Their families were not going to like them anymore. They were not going to respect them anymore. I'm going to look over in Luke chapter number 2, and I'm going to show you something, starting with verse number 4. It says, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. We read that phrase a lot of times. I used to read that phrase a lot, and I thought that's a very tragic statement. Because the innkeeper, he should have made room. He should have put, I mean, if anybody in their right mind would see a lady that was close to having a baby, they would clear that room out and give them that room. But I'm going to tell you, both Joseph and Mary were both of the house of David. And I believe with all my heart that they had family in that town that told them, stay away, we don't believe that she is with child by the Holy Ghost. Both, if you study out the book of Matthew, you will find out that Joseph's lineage was of the house of David. And if you look at Luke chapter number 3, you'll find out that Mary's lineage was also of the house of David. And I think there's a good... I just really believe with all my heart that their family said, no, stay away from us. We don't believe. We don't understand what you're doing, what God is doing in your life. And if you flip over, I'll kind of show you. Look at Luke chapter number 3, verse 23. This is what leads me to believe that. It says, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph. He's not the son of Joseph, he's the son of God. He's the virgin-born son of God, which was the son of Heli. The Jewish people, they had a way of small-town gossip, just like we have today. We still have that problem today. They all thought that Mary and Joseph were guilty of adultery. If you turn over to John chapter number 8 and verse 41, I believe that Mary and Joseph chose a life of shame. They chose a life of rejection by identifying with Christ. This is what John 8:41 says. It says, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. What were they talking about? Everybody in Bethlehem, they said, we're not born of fornication like you are, Jesus. Well, Jesus was born of a virgin. They didn't believe the word of God. They didn't believe what God had told Mary and Joseph. But it wasn't just that town. It was also the whole city of Jerusalem. Look at Matthew chapter number 2. The wise men came from the east seeking Jesus. It says in verse number 2, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." So they had the word of God. They knew what the word of God said. And they rejected Mary and Joseph, and they also rejected the word of God, because they knew exactly where it said Jesus was going to be born. But they didn't like that story that, hey, he was born in a stable. He was born in a manger. They rejected Mary and Joseph, and they rejected Jesus. They had the word of God right there. So when we surrender to God's plan, our family's not going to always understand. People are not always going to understand. But you know, the last point I have, the Lord showed this to me, is when we surrender, when we follow God's plan, He reverses and He overcomes the work of the devil. And God rewards our faithfulness. What a blessing. Can you imagine Mary and Joseph? They accepted this shame, but at the same time, they got the fellowship with God every day in a special way. Wow. I mean, what a blessing to think about raising Jesus Christ. You know, I'm not going to turn back, but if you look back in Genesis, you'll see that when the fall of mankind happened, the devil approached Eve, and he deceived her first, and then after she was deceived, she approached Adam, and Adam followed along in her sin. And you know what God did? He approached Mary first, and he said, "This is my plan for you. Will you accept it?" And she said, "Yes." And then afterwards, he approached Adam, and he said, "This is my plan for you. Will you accept it?" And he reversed everything that the devil had done by bringing the Christ child into the world to die for our sins. You know, that's enough. That's enough right there for us to surrender to his plan. But it says in Romans, we owe God a debt. He doesn't owe us anything. We owe him. And we ought to surrender to his will for our life because he's done so much for us. But along with that, when you do surrender to God's plan, you're going to see some wonderful things. You're going to see him use you in a mighty way. He's going to do things through us and to us that we couldn't have done on our own. You know, I think about what the Lord is doing already in Hawaii, and I don't deserve to be used by God. But he's blessed us, and he's helped us to reach a few people, and we're excited about what's going on there. I'm going to read one more verse, and then we'll start closing, if you want to start coming up, Brother Bob. You know, God deserves our service. We're poor. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8:9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." You know, I'm a rich man. And if you're accepting Christ as your Savior, you're rich too. Like I said, I'm so undeserving of God's grace. I don't deserve anything good from him. But because he sent his precious son and I simply trusted him as Savior, I became rich. Are you rich tonight? Have you accepted God's son as your own personal Savior? If you have, I would encourage you to serve him, to live out the rest of your days serving him. I'm going to ask Brother Bob to come and close us.
Let's all stand together as we prepare for invitation. What has God spoken to your heart about this evening? Think about the life of Mary and Joseph and how God chose them. They were not perfect people, but they were surrendered people. And have you truly surrendered your life to the Lord? The song we're going to sing here in just a minute is "I Surrender All." And I hope you mean it. And I hope you think about the words that we're singing. So again, have you completely surrendered your life to God? If not, now's a great time to do that. And I'll never forget this. I heard a preacher say one time, are you simply living or are you living for God? And that's a convicting question, because so many times we simply live. We simply go throughout our day and do what needs to be done and check off this box and perform this task. But instead of just simply existing, instead of just simply living, let's live our lives for God. I tell our teenagers often, there's a quote downstairs that says, life is too short to live for ourselves. We must live for God. So as Brother Stephen begins to sing and the instrumentals begin to play, as we sing this song, "I Surrender All," if God's spoken to your heart about something specific, you come this evening.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Before he sings the second verse, we never want to let a service go by without giving you an invitation to receive Christ as your Savior. And if you're here tonight, you've never received the free gift of salvation. We're glad you're here, but we hope you don't leave without knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, without knowing for sure that heaven's your home when you die. You can know that. The Bible says a number of times in 1 John that you may know that you have eternal life. You see that know, that word know several times in there. Folks, you can know for sure that heaven's your home. Won't you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight? If that's you, please come. Allow us to take a Bible and show you from the Bible how you can be saved as we sing the second verse.
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me
now. If you mean it, join in on the chorus.
I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Very good. You may look this way. Brother Travis, thank you for the message. And you said you all are leaving Friday, is that correct? All right, good. He'll probably stop at Chick-fil-A about 12 times between now and then, so you pray for them. All right? No, appreciate the Stills family. You pray for them as they travel back to Hawaii, and I'd encourage you, often, send them emails and text messages. Let them know you're praying for them, and pray that God will continue to bless the ministry there. Just a reminder, this is the final service for Blaine and Philip Merle and Dawson and Dean as well. They're up in the balcony. Wave at us, folks. Hey. pray for them as they'll be moving to Louisville this week, and pray that God would help their move to go well and as they're transitioning in many different areas of their life at this time. So pray for the Merles. And again, appreciate Brother Gallion covering the music. Did a tremendous job today. I appreciate him stepping in with that. And glad to have my parents here, Jeff and Sandy Mann, right here. Carter's right between them, keeping them both in line. Right, bud? But so thankful for the privilege to grow up in a Christian home. Thankful for Mom and Dad who are faithful to one another, faithful to the Lord, and trained us in showed us the importance of learning God's word. And they instilled that in our lives. And teenagers, children, if you're here tonight and Mom and Dad's sitting with you, you better be grateful for that. You ought to thank God for that, and you ought not to take that for granted. So thank God for being able to be raised in a Christian home. And we are glad to have several of our college students in, several from many different areas, some of them heading back very soon. But pray for college students as they are approaching their next semester, that God would give them strength and wisdom and all that. And Brother Matt Krause, are you still, is Mac here? There you are. If you'll lift your voice and pray for us, please. Amen. Be back here at 7 o'clock. You are dismissed. Thank you. Wednesday, 7.